Hey, this is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I am Levi. Travis is to my right, and over a ways away from me is Lisa, and she's just hanging out over there reading her phone, I think. Is that what you're doing today?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
All right. Today we're going to be talking about stepping out from behind the wall of fear. And fear is a weird thing because we learn most of the fears that we have. I think you told me a story about you and snakes, and it was a learned fear. You saw a rattlesnake or something like that and tried to kiss you, and you didn't like that. Is that what happened, Travis?
More or less, that's what happened, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, scared and scared me for life.
Yeah, I still don't like roller coasters, and I think some of that has to do with me being really scared of getting motion sickness. From a young age, I've always gotten motion sickness. One of the worst rides up here is in the fall. Leaves are starting to fall off the trees, and you're going up to Copper Harbor, and the sun is going down, and it's going through the trees, and that of the lights. I remember as a kid, we did that, and we had this big green car, and lucky the carpeting was green in there because everything that I had eaten was coming out. I got sick really easily in motion sickness type of a thing. And so I think that's part of the reason that I don't like roller coasters. There's also a really bad experience that I had when I was about 13 years old. My buddy and I met some girls at the carnival. And we had planned to meet them at the carnival. And so we were going around. And as I've told you and Lisa before, that I love games of chance. And we were playing one of those games of chance. And I won this big, huge, like, liter of pop, you know, with the ring toss. Popped right on one of those things. Well, now I have a big glass bottle. Well, what are you going to do with that thing? So what do I do with it? I'm like, let's just drink it. And so we all drank this thing. So now my belly is full of Coke. And these girls, what do they want to do? Go on the tilter world.
Oh.
Not my cup of tea, if you will. And so we go on it, and they're going faster and faster and faster. And my buddy's like, ha, let's do this more and more. And so we keep going faster and faster and spinning. And we get off that thing, and I am not feeling so well. So I tell them to kind of walk up just a couple of steps. And as they're walking up, they barely make it up. It was like the fire of a dragon coming out of my mouth that this Coca-Cola was shooting so far. Yeah.
The UP version of the Sandlot.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
How not to get a second date.
Yeah. So I think like some of that is why I hate roller coasters and things of that nature. But there's a guy in the Bible. I really love the stories of scripture that tell stories of people's lives. And one of those stories of somebody's life was a guy by the name of Moses. And most listeners probably have heard of Moses before. Maybe you've watched, you know, the Ten Commandments. Who was the actor in that?
Charlton Heston.
Yeah. And
isn't that thing like 4 hours long too?
Yeah.
It's a cinematic marvel.
Yep. Yeah. But he's like a hero in the thing. He's like this brave, courageous guy. And the reality is the scripture actually doesn't depict him in that way. He's actually quite a fearful guy often, and he's quite a fearful guy that he has to step out in these places. And yet there is not really a reason for him to be fearful, because God had been providing for him and God had been protecting him for a really long time. And so it seems a little weird at times that he's fearful. Moses' life starts off in the beginning. He starts off, there's this decree to kill him and all little Hebrew little boys at that time when he's born, and the midwives don't do it. And so he's protected somehow, and then he's hidden for a while, but then he gets big enough where his mom chooses to send, so he should have died right off the bat, he should have been killed. Then his mom chooses to send him down the Nile River. The Nile River has crocodiles and such. And he should have been eaten, but so they put him in this basket that's filled with, you know, pitch, you know, in so
a little canoe for a newborn,
a little canoe, and they send him down the river where he should have been chomped up by something. And he gets to the place where there is the Pharaoh's daughter, and the Pharaoh's daughter sees him in the water and picks him out of the water and he gets to go live in the palace. His mom gets to be his nanny. And just an incredible provision in this thing. Incredible. Like two times right there should have been dead. He grows up really as in a life of privilege. And he grows up to a point where he is still living in the palace, still knows that he's a Hebrew, walking along. He does something really kind of dumb, and he doesn't wait for God's timing. He kills this Egyptian guy, and he buries him in the sand, and then he takes off a running, and he's now living in as a shepherd, walking around the fields and living, and God has still provided for him. He still has this place. So he's, all of those things are still true. And now he's out and there's a burning bush. And he walks up to it and basically says, "Hey, take your shoes off. This is holy ground." And it is God speaking to him. And he says, "Hey, you need to go back to Egypt and you need to tell the Pharaoh to let my people go." And that's kind of a Levi translation of all of that stuff. But that's basically the story. And what does he say in the midst of that? "No way. Not going to happen."
He says it like four times.
Yep. I'm a man of a simple tongue or something like that, he says.
Yeah. Who will you send with me? I can't do it. Yeah.
All the same stuff that we have when we're scared of something, right? We want someone to come with us. We don't think we can do it. And usually we're hiding. And it seems like for that period of time, he's just kind of hiding out. He's just kind of like, "I'm going to just live out here. I'm going to just do this. This is what my life's going to be." And there's this negative kind of spirit that he has, this fearful spirit that he has. And God's calling him into something that's probably pretty scary, to go to the Pharaoh and say, "Hey, let my people go." And how is he going to react? All of those types of things. But how does one do that? How does one walk out from beyond the wall of fear? We all have fears at some level. What does it look like for us to overcome the wall of fear?
That is the million-dollar question. You just see in his life over and over where he's kind of paralyzed by his fear, or he flights, right? He takes off, kills the Egyptian dude, runs and hides out, like you said. Now God is like having to convince him. He's got the burning bush there, the thunderous voice of God talking to him. And he's like, "I can't do it, man. It's too scary." And God's like, "I'm going to be with you." And then he has the staff in his hand too at the end of that part of the story, where he's like, "You got the staff in your hand." "Yeah. Well, it's going to do some cool stuff. It's going to help you convince the Pharaoh and the plan that I have for you." And like, obedience, you kind of start to see it there. It took a lot of convincing for Moses. Sometimes you just have to face the scary stuff and know that if God's called you to it, he's going to see you through it. And I don't think Moses gets there right away. We see him kind of teeter back and forth, and he's like, "Well, I need help. Like you said, I stutter. I'm not a well-spoken man." And he's got all the excuses in the world. And I think that's another way, like, we can be paralyzed where we just don't move. We can run away, or we can have all these excuses to justify in our head why we shouldn't do it.
I think the other part, I think those are right, but it's the dependence upon God. Moses wasn't actually doing it. He was just the messenger of what God was already telling Pharaoh that was going to happen. And I think that's often our problem, is we think we're the ones in control, or we're the ones having to do it. And that's where our fear factor comes in, is that we're trying to control something, or we're trying to mitigate something, or we're trying to, and if God's calling you into something, and I think if there's a burning bush in front of you, that's going to
kind of obvious,
kind of obvious that, "Hey, maybe we should go on this journey with God on this one." But there's also, I think, this breaking down that happens, right, in our lives. Like, it's not, like, our experience in life, God prepares us, and we have, you know, there's times of preparation within our lives, but those are, you know, education, those types of things. But there's also seasons of really difficult things to prepare us for the next thing. And as we walk through those things and see the faithfulness of God, I think it's a preparation for that next step. It's a preparation for what God's calling us into. And I think that there's often times where we miss the goodness of God in our lives, or we dismiss it, you know, because we've made it through. We've made it through whatever that may be, and we forget about that. I opened up one of my journals from a long, long time ago, and I'd been praying for a job, and I was just like really frustrated with God in the midst of this. Like, I'm like, what in the world? Like, I keep applying for these jobs, not happening. And then it was like God's floodgates opened in the midst of all of that. And I was able to get a job and all of those things. But looking back at my prayers, it was like, God, I'm not sure what you're doing. And I'm really struggling. Like, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Like, there was like this internal fear, like, maybe I'm not meant to do this. Maybe I should go in a different direction. Maybe what you're telling me is not correct. Like, all of those fears and like, maybe I'm not what I think I am. All of those things were going through, and it's all in my journal, and I won't go into all of the details of those things. But I was when I was writing that, I was on a mountain in Colorado, and I was writing those things. And the really cool part of the story of that, I don't know if it's really cool, but I lost one of my tent pegs. And this is just a weird part of the story. I lost one of my tent pegs. And so, kind of a significant thing when you're out in the middle of nowhere, wind blowing, raining, and it was raining like crazy. And I had prayed. I'm like, God, I lost this. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I am not kidding you. I'm like, walk three steps, and there's this weird bone of a dead animal that looked exactly like a tent stake. And I was like, God provided. And it was like this weird, like, mountain man God experience for me.
Some people get a burning bush. Some people get an animal bone in the shape of a tent peg, you know?
But it was that weird, it was a weird thing that encouraged my heart to go, that God is good. God provides. Mm-hmm. And I read that probably, I don't know, 3 months ago, and in the midst of just some things that were going on in my own heart. And I remembered. And I remembered the goodness of God through a weird bone in the middle of Colorado on a mountainside that God provided, and God provides.
And I think I'm going to jump way ahead in the story, but once the Israelites have been freed from Egypt, and they're wandering in the wilderness then for 40 years. So there's that land in the middle kind of feeling. And I think we all get to those places where, like you were outlining in your story, you know, you felt like God had this thing for you, and now stuff isn't working out, and we start to question it. Like, we start to get afraid, like, okay, did we make a bad decision? Did we not hear correctly? And it's a faith journey. Like, the thing I hate the most about a relationship with the Lord is that he teaches me patience. I don't want to be patient. I want, God, you give me the burning bush. I will not be like Moses. I will take the steps and go, and let's go. But there's that middle ground, that training ground, where as you can go back, because hindsight's always 20/20, and you see like, oh, that was actually really good for me, even though it was really hard for me. And I can think of, I'm sure we all can, a bunch of situations and circumstances in our lives where it's like, in the middle of it, it's just utter chaos almost. And you question like, is God good? Is he here? Did I screw up? What's going on? And you get to the other side of it, whether you wrote in a journal or you just, you know, think back because you stacked rocks by the side of the road like the Israelites. But you see like, okay, God, you were with me, even though I couldn't feel it, even though I didn't realize it. And how that changes you, how that shapes you, how that molds you. It might not, the circumstances of the situation might not be good. That just might be true. But what did he equip you with? Maybe for his service, maybe to instill some training in your life, or just maybe a situation was really hard and you made it through because God is good. And now you have that ability to share and reach and minister, if we get churchy with it, to other people through things. And there's been like hard stuff in my life and with my wife. Like, we had miscarriage stuff, really hard to understand and justify in the midst of it. But now you have some authenticity to be able to share and speak and help other people that are going through that.
Yeah, I think that if we sit behind the wall of fear and go, God, as long as you explain this to me, then I'll come out and I'll take that next step of trusting you. It never really works like that. In the midst, and I think that's what you're saying, in the midst of all of this, we often don't get to understand the next thing. And it would be a lot easier, like, I know when Christmas is coming. I know December 25th is coming, and I can look forward to that. I can see that. I can understand that. But when you're in the midst of your stuff and the fear is welling up inside of your heart, you don't have that December 25th out in front of you. You can't see that. And yet God's calling you to go, hey, take the step with me, do the next right thing, step in this, wherever that may be, to trust me. And, you know, maybe he is calling you, maybe you've been in a place where you've been hurt by somebody, relationally, you've been hurt by somebody, and you're like, man, I'm never trusting another person my entire life. I've been in places like that where I'm just like, I'm not trusting people. They're mean, right? And so I'm not going to trust them. And it's like, God's like, no, you got to trust. You got to take a step with me. You got to love, and you got to continue to love. Alexa liked that one. So it's this movement of, you know, hey, you step out and start that relationship again and start taking a chance again and going, God, I'm gonna give this to you, even though there's a potential for this to spin out of control again.
Yeah, I think you're reminding me of something that I often hear, and maybe even in my own experience, the response of people who have been hurt by people in the church. And I think sometimes God always calls us back to his body. And so I think that same on an individual level, where God may be calling you to trust him through a relationship, could also be applied to your relationship to the church. And God may be calling you into participation in the local body in a way that's uncomfortable for you, but he has promised that he will be with you, and he has been good all along, and you can trust him.
Yeah, I think we all have burning bush experiences in our life, and those burning bush experiences are defining moments in our life, because it's really a question of, are we going to trust him or are we not? And it may not be as, you know, obvious as when we think of a burning bush that's not being consumed type of thing as the scripture describes it. But I think we all have those moments where it's like, I don't know. Why is this happening? What does this look like? What is God calling me in? I don't really understand. I don't feel like I can do that. I don't feel like I'm equipped to do that. I don't feel like I'm equipped to forgive that person that did whatever they did to me. I don't feel like I'm able to do what he's calling me into. And we have these burning bush experiences in our life. And it's always this, I think the question and the ability to step out from behind the wall of fear is always, do we fear what God more than we fear whatever that is? And do we fear what he's telling us, like fear in the sense of respect? Do we respect what he's actually telling us more than whatever is holding us back behind that wall? And it's difficult to do those things. Lisa, you work in a recovery ministry, and I've been there a few times, and it's an incredible ministry. But these people are stepping out and really being honest about who they are. But what a fearful thing to be able to do, to go, hey, these people are going to know my stuff. I'm going to trust these people enough because I need to recover. I need to walk with God in such a way. And they step out from behind the wall, and all of the fears and all the anxieties and all the things they probably tried to cover for many, many years. And they step out and go, this is who I am. And yet God loves me and he cares about me. And it's pretty incredible. A burning bush experience where we decide God is the one who predicts and understands the future, and yet it is unpredictable to us. It is often a part of all of our stories, and yet it's good news when it's connected to God's story, and when God is the one telling us to go and to take that step. It is sometimes still scary for us, yet his providence and his ability to love and care for us in the midst of that is pretty awesome. And so that's good news you can use.
Thanks for tuning in this week. We're glad that you were with us. If you've got any episode topic ideas, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you just have questions, you can shoot both of those over to travis@evangelup.org. If you'd like to catch up on previous Pearls and Swine episodes, you can search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform, or you can go to our website, evangelup.org.